You know, my English teacher in college, wow, she broke me up pretty quick of some of that stuff because, you know, my English was terrible. And then she had no mercy on us. Miss Collins was her name. And a couple of times in front of the class of about 35, I would say something like that when she asked a question, and it was pretty bad. And she said, "Did y'all hear that, class? Did y'all hear what he said?" And so guess what? I quit opening my mouth. But I learned because she taught us, so I still make mistakes, but I know better. That's the bad thing. I just slip up sometimes. But we've already won. Today, we're going to continue for just a few weeks because many in our church have their children out of school. And so we're going to just look for a few weeks at some things. And this can apply to everyone, whether you still have a child in the house or not. And as we started last week, and we're going to look again this week, and mainly the concept is we're trying to understand how things work with children from a biblical perspective because it explains it to us. And that's the key. That's where we want to be. And Einstein said that any fool can know. The point is to understand. And, you know, a verse that we'll look at, if not next week, in a few weeks, Proverbs 22, that everyone quotes, verse 6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and then when he gets old, he will not depart from it. And too many times, that's taken totally out of context. And because you can, is where you see, you can do right things, and they still turn out a fool and break your heart. But understand that, you know, God knows that because some of his own children were the same way. But that's what we're going to do. We're going to speak about what the Scripture says about basically how we are born and what we can do to try to change it, and that is understand how that works. Look at that. Talking and walking, those overlap, is influence. So we can do that. We can have some influence on our children. Da Vinci said, knowing is not enough, we must apply. Being willing is not enough, we must do. And some of you that have grown children, you know, boy, that's a task, isn't it? Raising children, understanding them, that's the key. Or understanding how we're put together in knowing this happens, so we need to know that, to understand that, in order to try to do the best we can at raising our children. Years ago, when during this hippie movement, some hippies ended up at this kind of a real traditional Baptist church where normally you wouldn't see many hippies showing up. And, you know, they had on their beads and long hair and sandals. But they came in, and, they listened. And afterwards, one of the guys came up to the preacher at the front, and he just said, you know, he stuck his hand out. He said, "I just want you to know, cool daddy, that's some heavy jive you laid on us." And the preacher, you know, in his coat and tie, he backed up and he said, "I don't understand that kind of talk. If you want to talk to me and you want me to understand, you got to speak my language. I don't understand that nonsense." He says, "Oh, daddy-o, come on, that was some heavy dope you put out there." He said, "Did you just hear me? I don't understand that nonsense. If you want me to listen to you and try to understand you, you need to talk so I can understand you." He said, "Come on now, daddy-o. All I'm trying to say is I put 100 simoleons in the offering plate." And he stuck his hand out there to preach and said, "Crazy, man, crazy." He finally got it. Understanding. The Scripture is pretty clear. It's how we're born and what the process is. Even if we work hard at it, we still only have a chance. But if we do not do anything, our children are done. You know, that's the sad part about it. Understanding. Colleen Lyons said she was from the North, and I don't have anything against people from the North. I make jokes sometimes, and they make jokes at us, and that's okay. That's all right. I'm just glad they don't all live down here, aren't you? And they ain't got to worry about me going up there. Ain't that right? Anyway. She took her first job as a school teacher in South Georgia. And she was having a hard time understanding the kids speaking. And so she said to one of the students, she said, I sure wish y'all spoke English. And the student said, we do speak English. And she said, well, you might speak English, but it ain't the King's English. And the girl responded, oh, yes, it is. Don't you know Elvis was a Southerner? Understanding. I remember a couple of people that come through here, some of y'all's kin people, they said, you know, every time we come down and they're from the north and they come through and they'll visit with us maybe a couple of weeks and they go on south and they go back. She said, we love to listen to you, but boy, we can't hardly understand you. I said, that's okay. Just have to listen a little bit harder. Understanding. That is the key. And that's what we're going to look at. Understanding our children, how they are made, what is the normal process, how we pay attention to that, and what can we do to try to help them be the best that they can be from God's perspective. Proverbs describes three types of children in just one verse. In Proverbs chapter 1, it says, wisdom cries without. She utters a voice in the streets. She cries in the chief place of concourse. In the openings of the gates in the city, she utters her words, saying, what does that mean? It's well known everywhere. Wisdom knows this and publicizes it. This is what's known. How long? Here's the categories. You simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners, number two, second class, delight in their scorning. And the third class, and fools hate knowledge. Wow. In one verse, it sums up exactly what's going on in what we have in the country. Simple ones, I'm translating it for, paraphrasing it for us. The simple ones are gullible. Okay, that's all that means. The scorners are the smart alecks, the obnoxious who don't want to listen to anyone. And what happens are the fools that hate knowledge. In a nutshell, that's what our problem is. And with children and that grow up to be adults in general, and especially in America, when we don't understand, this is where we're starting with our children, what needs to be done to try to prevent them, because it's a progressive thing. They start as simple, and if you don't do anything, they'll absolutely come out to be a fool 99% of the time. That's exactly what happens. That's why it says that in verse 22, verse 6 of Proverbs that we're going to look at. Train up a child. You know what that means? It doesn't mean just give them a book to read. You know, how do you become a great singer? Just by reading about singers? No, you have to practice. You have to train. How do you become good at any kind of sport? Just sitting down reading about it? No, you have to practice. That's why it says train a child. And then when he gets old, and you know that verse is kind of misleading just a little bit unless you go behind it. It's not talking about an old person. It means actually when they start to get a kind of like a teenage age, maybe when they got peach fuzz growing on their face, that age. If you do it right, when they get to the place where most teenagers turn away from God, they won't. That's what that means. I ask you, ask Dallas, over the last 10 years, how many kids have come through our system? When they get to college, when they get to that place, God's not in the picture anymore. That's what we're talking about. It's an epidemic proportion. And a lot of it is our fault. And when I say I don't mean the church's fault. I mean the parents' fault. That's who he's speaking to here. But we have to take up some of the slack, or try to, as a church. It's not a representation of all youth, but it's unfortunately a significant reality of where we live this day and time. That's exactly what happens. Do you have any of them in your family? Boy, I do. Thank the Lord. Meredith's not there yet. We're going to try to do everything we can to keep her from that. But then we can't control everything either, right? It's a progression, and that's it. It's the evolution of a fool. Did you know a fool doesn't start out as a fool? They start out as simple. They start out as naive. They start out as gullible. And if someone's not working with it, they begin to be a scorner where they make fun of what is good and what's right. And before long, they turn out to be a fool. And then pretty much is what goes on in Romans. It says God gave them over. Why? Because the chances for them ever returning out of that are it just takes a miracle that they ever come back. Boy, it's crazy. Every child begins, it's what the Bible says, simple. That's what that word means. And it just simply means this: they're open. It means they're naive, and that's exactly the way children are created. They're not born with all this stuff, knowing this stuff. They're open, so someone needs to start training them while they're there to listen and while they're open, because they're open. And that's exactly what they start. And if they're not loved and thoughtfully disciplined, they become that scorner and obnoxious. And the next step is they're a fool. Or we're going to use the word rebel, okay? The Bible uses the word fool, but I'm going to just use the word rebel. You know what that means, right? The rebel without a cause. Remember that? Some of you were young back then. Is there really a call? If the progression is not dealt with, he becomes a fool. And once he becomes a fool, like I said, it is almost impossible to ever get them back. It's a miracle if it happens. So God shows us in his word what things we can do to try to alter that, so that the children do not end up in that last bad category, because the future for that last category is not good. It's not good at all, the Bible tells us. Now, go back quickly. The simple. They're gullible. You know what that means, right? They believe anything. They're open. They're not trained yet. So they'll easy. They'll kind of take in anything according to their personality. It would depend on some of it. The word simple comes from the root. It just means open. It's a naive person. You know what that means? I read a story where this lady was a grown lady, and her family was, I say a grown lady, she was maybe young adult, but out on her own. But they were all having Thanksgiving dinner at her house. So the mom was just kind of going to play a trick on her because she was so gullible. The older daughter was gullible, so all the family was there. And at the last minute, they had the turkey cooked and everything. It was still in the oven. So they sent this gullible sister off to get something else. And what mom did was she pulled the turkey out of the oven, pulled all the stuffing out of it, and stuck a Cornish hen in there, and then covered it back up and put it back in the oven. And then whenever it's time to eat, they pulled it out and letting the sister do the cutting. And she started hitting something, and she pulled out. And she said, "Oh, my goodness." And the mom said, "My goodness, you baked a pregnant turkey." And the sister just fell apart. It took them 2 hours to convince her, whoa, wait a minute, they don't have live babies, okay? They're through eggs, because she was so gullible. You said that's ridiculous. That's what children are. That's exactly how we are created. You know, God made us that way, so unless we train them starting early, guess what? They'll soak up whatever nonsense that they have to be around. And we're going to look at that one in just a minute. Monitor who they're around. That's our responsibility. They love being happy. They love being carefree. They don't want to think about anything serious. Isn't that right? Children, sometimes when they don't grow out of it, they're still 40 years old, and that's all they want. And that's all they are. And again, I know some of this depends on the personality. What is it? The simple lack understanding. What? They're open, and they do not have enough of God's spiritual in them yet. It says, "Whoever's simple, let him turn in here. As for him that wants understanding," what? They don't have it yet. They can't analyze and say, "Boy, I don't need to do that. Don't need to go there." They don't have that yet. They don't have that ability to analyze something and make the right decisions. They may be intelligent. It doesn't mean they're a fool. I mean, it doesn't mean they're ignorant. It doesn't mean they don't know anything. But they do not have any understanding, especially from a spiritual standpoint, and the insight from God's word to say, "No, I don't need to go there. No, I don't need to do that." Why? Just because of how they're created. Simple. That's who they are. They're led astray easily because they do not have that understanding. Wow. Y'all remember Candid Camera? Who's never heard of that? No offense if you don't. I mean, no problem. It used to be a funny show. You know how they would, if you don't remember what it was, they would go in, unbeknown to most people, something in public, they would set up, and they would do something crazy, and they would put a camera and just watch what people do. In one of these situations where they went in, it's like a doctor's office, and they had a camera, and this guy goes in, and he's the only one that doesn't know what's going on. The other people do. And they're all sitting around in a doctor's office in their underwear. And just a little bit, and he's just kind of looking around, and before he knows it, he takes off his pants and he's sitting around in his underwear. Why? It just kind of goes with the crowd, even as an adult. That's exactly what peer pressure is. If we do not train them to recognize you don't need to do this, that's exactly what happens. The simple believer believes every word, but the prudent man looks well to his or her going. We have to train them to do that. They're not born with that, and they're not going to get that in a school system. They're not going to get that anywhere else. That is our responsibility as parents or as grandparents. A lot of your grandparents are raising your grandchildren. Just remember this. Use this. Or even if it's someone you're trying to help in the community, it applies to every one of us and the little ones around us. They live in danger. What do you mean? A prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself, but the simple do not and suffer. A wise man can look down the road, see danger, and can get out of the way. But a simple, they suffer from it, and they're punished. That's what Proverbs, all through the book of Proverbs, is talking about every one of these things. Exactly, that's what it is. And here's what happens. If we can't do something to try to help them, G.K. Chesterton said, it's a shame, actually. He said, we spend the first half of our life fighting with our parents and the second half fighting with our children. It shouldn't be that way. Training them. Why? Because if we do not understand that's who they are and what they need, this is what happens to them. They move from being simple, they're influenced by all this other stuff, and they become a scorner. What is a scorner? It's the one who's a smart aleck, who knows it all. You can't tell him anything. Well, you can tell him something, but not much. Isn't that what they say? If not dealt with, this simple is a progression. We start here. If nothing happens, we end here. If nothing happens, we end to the last part, which is not healthy. Scorners delight in that. They like it. That's what throughout the scripture, that's what it says. What does it say? How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? How long are you going to stay in this state? How long are you going to keep doing it this way? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. They love it. They love being obnoxious. They love being, don't you hate smart alecks? Especially when they think they know everything and they don't. And you can't tell them that they don't know. You know, he wasn't a smart aleck, but one of my uncles, he was always influenced by alcohol, unfortunately. And he would stand there in front of me and just be lying up a storm, and he knows that I know he's lying. But you couldn't tell him anything. That's who he is. He's gotten to that point. He said, that's what happens. They scorn, they make fun of, is another word of saying that. They're obnoxious. You know, don't you? I would tell you a story even yesterday, and I'm thinking, should I tell you this? I didn't do anything wrong. I almost got up out of my seat. I was eating a very, very late lunch, and it was kind of an empty place, and there was a guy talking so loud on the telephone that I got up and moved to the very other end of the restaurant, Zaxby's, you know, small place. And it was still, you know, I'm trying to think, and I can't even think because of his phone call. I think that's obnoxious. I started to go say, why don't you go outside till you get finished? Now, none of us want to hear all that. And that's exactly the way those people come across, isn't it? That's exactly who that is. You can't tell them anything, and they delight in that. So they don't even see it. A scorner is a smart aleck. If you read 2 Peter 3:3, and you'll see what happens there at the end of time, whenever this comes down with them, it is not pleasant whatsoever. That's what it's referring to. They reject instruction. They whine, they complain, they talk back, and only want their way. You ever had a child like that? How'd you fix that? Did you fix that? You better fix it. Young. Others think that they're obnoxious. You don't want obnoxious children, right? Some of you in the school system, bless your heart, I don't know how you do it. Because, unfortunately, it's an epidemic proportion now, the way children behave compared to the way it was just 30 years ago. That's not very long, is it? 30 years? You all agree with me? Yeah. If you don't believe that, work in VBS 1 year. You know, you see all kinds come through here. And some of them are just as polite and nice as they can be. And some of them, you just know, boy, that home life cannot be. You say, well, you going to blame the parents when they're that young? Yeah, that's who you blame. That's who's responsible. Abraham Lincoln said, a man over 40 is responsible for some of this stuff. But when they're this young, mom and dad's responsible for not correcting some of this nonsense, right? They whine, they complain, they talk back, and they only want their way. And you can't tell them anything, you know, because they know everything. Look at this. A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scorner hears not rebuke. We're going to talk about this in a minute. How do you deal with each one of these? We'll get to those real quick. Kind of some simple things. How do you do for the simple? What do you do for the scorner? What do you do for the fool? How can you do that? Once a child becomes a scorner, his ability to learn anything new about that situation, okay, I'm not talking about just worldly stuff. I'm talking about what he's doing is very, very difficult, okay, because his attitude is against anyone else telling him that he needs to change or that she needs to change. So they do not want any instructions at all about themselves. Okay, that's what we're talking about when it says difficult for them to learn about who they are, how they're doing things, what their attitude is. It's almost impossible already. And this can happen before they're a teenager. You don't have to wait till they're 40. It's already set by then, you know, unfortunately. They hate good and the godly. A scorner loves not the one that corrects him. Neither will he go unto the wise. He doesn't want any instruction. They don't want anyone telling them what they're doing is wrong or how this needs to be changed. You know, they're their own person. And we'll see in just a moment how he says, you know, don't even try to rebuke them in one sense. Because what? It's almost like, you remember that verse? I'm getting ahead of myself. You remember where it says, do not cast your pearls before swine? There are some things you're wasting your time to do when they get to this point. There's a few things you can do, but you have to be careful because it's already gone too far in some respects. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. You know, you cannot sit down and preach to them and say, you know, this and this and this. And they don't receive that. I mean, you are wasting your time because they don't want any instruction. You're going to have to find some other way in which to get to them because that doesn't work. If at that point in time, it's already too late. He just simply hates those who try to correct him. You know, isn't that the hardest thing to do with someone who has an addiction problem? What's the hardest thing to do with them? To show them that they have an addiction problem. Oh, yeah, no, you know, I don't have that problem. My brother's dealing with someone in their extended family now, and he's an alcoholic at a very, very young age, and God may be getting his attention because they've just told him something looks bad in his system because he's been drinking so much for so long. And so he might realize it, but my brother's talked to him, he doesn't have a problem. You know, even though he drinks all day, every day, he doesn't have a problem. Wouldn't you think? Someone that drinks all day, every day, and I don't mean water, would you think they have a problem? He doesn't have a problem. Why? You can't tell them that. That's exactly what it is. And children are the same way. You know, it's hard to tell an obnoxious child, you're obnoxious, if they ever get to that point. You've got to show him some other way. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. Or to correct him, he feels that the good and the godly are his enemies. Can't do anything about it. And the only wants his or her way. And that's all that they don't want to listen to anybody else who's trying to tell them that they need to do something different. You ever been one of those yourself? Hopefully not. Would you admit it? If you were. If we asked your parents if they're still alive, what would they say? Hello? Nope. I hope not. A scorner's future is destruction. It doesn't lead to a nice place. Whoso despises the word, this is God's word, shall be destroyed. A child that you cannot tell anything, boy, they're headed for doom at an early age. That's exactly what happens. That's what is going to happen. Now, here's what happens. You start as a simple, you're naive, you listen to everything, no one can tell you anything. You get to that point where you just make fun of everyone, anyone trying to correct you. The next step is this. You become a fool or a rebel. The rebel is what the Bible calls the fool. The first two are known by what they love. The last one is known by what he hates. What does he hate? Wisdom, instruction. Doesn't want anything to do with it. Isn't that what the scripture says? The rebel rejects wisdom. What does it say in verse 7? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and instruction. So they hate that. They don't want anything to do with that. That's just the way it is. He hates wisdom and instruction. So when you try to talk to them, you know, you're their enemy, and they don't want to have anything to do with you. So another approach, understanding that, we have to do something different. We can't just preach to them at that point. It's too late. That just doesn't work. Now, does that mean we just let them go? No. The rebel makes fun of godliness. Boy, now who does that for us today, Hollywood? If you ever want to see how that works, all the advertisements, anything to do with Hollywood, and now it's gone into the sports arena by leaps and bounds. You see where the world soccer team, they need to be expelled from the country, I think, from the way they've been acting. They're making fun of one of their star players because she's a Christian. And they're making fun and you know, that kind of stuff. And that's what they do. Make fun of it. Make fun of it. It won't have anything to do with it. That's exactly what the verse says. And they're happy in their sin. Isn't that right? Oh, yeah, absolutely. For a while. Until it's too late. Then they might wake up or they might not. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom. Oh, we're just having a grand time. Nothing bad is going to happen. The moral sense of the fool is so destroyed. This is where Romans chapter 1 comes in. When God says, when they get to this point, he said, I just turn them over. They have a depraved mind. Meaning, when they get to this point, it is 99% impossible for them to ever turn around. And here's why. Until they see they have a problem, they'll never quit. And he said, when they get to this point, they never, you know, you can't tell him anything. He knows more than anyone else. So you can't convince him he has a problem, so he's doomed. That's it. That's what Romans means. You know, God's not being evil when he says, I turn them over to a depraved mind. He just said, I saw where they're going, and I know when they get there, there is literally no hope for them whatsoever. It would take a miracle for them to ever change their mind. Destroyed and twisted that they cannot tell the difference anymore between good and bad. They don't know the difference between what is lying and what is okay to lie about or what's not okay. It's all okay. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Isaiah 5:20 says that. Boy. Now, quickly, we spent too much time on the problem. How do we fix it? You got to know what the problem is first, right? Understand what the problem is? We have a problem. If you don't think so, look at how many teenagers try to commit suicide or do commit suicide in the United States. Wow. It'll blow your mind. How do we do that? We can take some steps that might. Again, we have no guarantee whatsoever. Start with a child while they're naive, while they're young, and put the right stuff in front of them. You know, in this day and time, you say you're always talking about that phone because it's a blessing, but it's a bigger curse. A unmonitored telephone in an 8-year-old's hand is detrimental. That's what I mean. What are you putting in front of them? What are you allowing to be in front of them? While they're open, give them to the Lord. Say, we're going to do this. What does it say? Train them up. Train them. Start teaching them start teaching them Bible verses before they can even speak. So by the time they speak, they can quote them. You know? You say, well, you can't start that young. You'd be surprised how quick children can memorize stuff. How quick they can learn the books of the Bible. Before adults can. Why? Because there's nothing there yet. It's open. Fill it up with something that God can use later on. That's what he's saying. Be wise how you teach them, though, while they're young. Again, you got to know who your child is, what their temperament is, how they process stuff, and be wise about it. You can't do every one of your children the same way because none of us are just alike. You know, I have two sisters and a brother. Are any of us alike? Nope. Are any of us a little bit alike? You can see some resemblances in the way we process stuff, but none of us are by any means the same way. Use every chance you have to teach them. And look at this. Teach by a good example and also by the mistakes someone else made. You saw what Otis did? You saw what it's going to cost Otis? You want to go there? No. Right. teach them how to learn from someone else's mistake. So they do not have to make that same mistake, right? Here's a big one. Monitor the company they keep. Wow. Well, I can't do that. Oh, yes, you can. You can do a lot of it, especially while they're living in your house, right? And as they get older, where they go, when they get to come back, where they do get to go, I know I'm old school, but whenever I was going, while I was still living home from even 16 on, when I was going somewhere, I had to tell mom and where I was going, what I was doing. I'm going to this place or doing that. Well, you need to be back by this time. And we knew if I was not going to be back then, I better call. And we didn't have cell phones. You know how hard it was? You had to plan to make a call. So what you did was, no, I don't want to go through all that. I'll just be home. Why? Because they didn't mind saying, you can't go there anymore. But then we kind of respected what our parents thought. Now that's kind of obsolete too, right? Because all our parents now are just fools. Isn't that right? Sometimes that ain't the way you feel about other people's children. Help children avoid scorners. You need to keep them away from those that other obnoxious, smart aleck group. And the fools are, guess what? Next thing, they'll be just like them. Why? Because that's who they're learning from. He that walks with the wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. It's the same thing. Who do you hang out with? Who were you hanging out with in your 20s that influenced you positively, and who you were hanging out with that influenced you negatively? Did you have enough sense to stay away from the ones that were not going to help you be a better person? A lot of people, that's not what happens. You know, I read of an unfortunate event. It happened, how many years ago? 11 years ago, 2008, in Alba, Texas. Terry Caffey, his daughter, 16 years old, Aaron, was started hanging out with this older boy, and he sat down and talked to her, said, you know, this is not good, and you know, we didn't raise you that way, and that's not helpful, and you don't need to keep doing that. Well, as the thing went on, because he confronted it because someone on MySpace had said something about this boy that she was hanging out with, all the stuff that he was involved in. Well, at 2 a.m. one morning, he woke up and she went outside in her pajamas and got in the car with this guy and another guy and their girl, their other girlfriend. And it wasn't before long, he heard someone coming in the house, and long story short, the boys came in, killed his two children, his wife, and shot him 11 times while his daughter stayed out in the car. After a long process, they arrested him and sent to life imprisonment, the daughter as well. And he said, you know, what I'm trying to do is trying to help people understand how important it is for your kids not to hang out with the wrong people at certain times in their life. You know, it's just it. A 16-year-old doesn't need to date a 25-year-old. Whenever she's 30 and she wants to date a 50-year-old, okay. At least they maybe have enough sense that by then, I don't know. But, you know, it's just like there's some things you do not expose a 5-year-old to because they can't handle it. They might be able to handle it when they're 15 or 18, but they can't at 5. So why in the world would we want our kids to hang out with the scorners and the fools and get that influence on them? Monitor it. Well, I don't ruin my relationship with my kids. Well, they're going to end up being a fool anyway if you don't do something, isn't that right? Or dead. And now his daughter would serve life imprisonment for because the boys tried to blame it on her. It was her scheme to kill an 8-year-old boy and a 13-year-old boy and a 42-year-old mama and shoot the dad and leave him for dead and burn the house up. He drug himself out of the house. They set the house on fire and burned it up, but he caught him. You said, what? Yeah. You think the world's not in trouble? Wow. You let them know where you stand on an issue. I love you. As long as you live here, you know we're not going to do that. But, you know, that's what that rebuking part comes in. You know, you have to let them know this is not right, and we're not going to. You can't preach at them, But you say, you know, we're not going to do this. And especially if there's of age, you say, I love you, but in the house here, while you're staying here, this is how it's going to be. And here's the love, hard love part. If you can't do that, we love you, but you can't stay here. Why? You cannot let the scorners corrupt the good ones. Even in a classroom, teachers. Isn't it horrible that two people have to watch this scornful child that just needs to be beaten within an inch of his life, just messing up their class for the rest of them? Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? They used to beat us. They wouldn't let you disrupt the class. They'd send you out in the hall, and if the principal came by while you're out in the hall, it was tough. Why? They just beat you on the spot. But you know what? It would kind of say, I don't want to go through that again, the smart ones. The dumb ones just would do it every day. Lord, have mercy. Love them and don't preach to them. They won't receive that. They won't. Allow the scorner to see. You know what needs to be done when a kid is caught drunk driving? He needs to be taken down to the emergency room and let him watch someone come in there that's got blood all over him that was hit by a drunk driver. They need to let them see some result of this is what happens, not everything that Madison Avenue puts on her and says, oh, you deserve the gusto, all the gusto. Let them see the result. This is what's going to happen to you if you keep this up. Oh, well, no. That's exactly what that means. Don't allow the scorner to corrupt the others. Show them there's a price that comes with that. Oh, well, that's negative reinforcement. If it gets the job done, which is the best? Positive that doesn't work or negative that does? Everything can't be positive. We're just not. We're sinful creatures. The future of the rebel. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. When they get there, you just give that to God. That's all you can do. There's some of you sitting here and you say, man, boy, I made a lot of mistakes. I started too late and now I don't know what to do. All you can do is just pray and pray and pray and pray that God would somehow intervene, that somehow the child would turn around or the adult would turn around. That's all you can do now. And the ones that are sitting here, you say, you know what? I've done everything right and I really tried to do this and they still are going down that path. Just remember, how many of God's own children that he called his children in the Old Testament made their choice? Why? Because God created us as human beings with a choice, then we know absolutely that that's exactly what's going to happen. Keep loving them, keep trying to do the right thing, and just remember, God warned his own children what was going to happen, and guess what? That did happen. And all you can do is love them and say, you know, this is going to lead to a bad place, and that's all you can do. Because God is brokenhearted just like we are when our children end up as fools. Let's do everything we can as parents and grandparents and just neighbors to try to step in there and do something before they get to this last place for their sake and for God's glory. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you that you love us. Lord, we thank you that you have grace and you have mercy. And Lord, you do things that we cannot explain. How it is when children come out of horrible circumstances and they commit their life to you and they stay with it. Lord, we thank you. And then there's so many that are raised all their life the right way. And then a wheel runs off and they go completely crazy. Lord, we know that you're still in control. And we know that your heart is broken. But remind us everything that we can do and help us focus our attention when doing all that we can to try to keep those children on the right track for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.